We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years and 10 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Ned. How are you, Mr. Wizard?
I'm fine. 10 days. Crack, you're ready.
4 years and 10 days.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's just mad. It's crazy. Yeah.
We're still saying flatten the curve because we are still under emergency powers, aren't we?
Yep, certainly are.
Right, so where shall we begin today? And do not let me forget your surprise at the end. I had a surprise for Marty.
I won't. And, okay. And you did give me 5 minutes, so I've got a boring word at the end of it. Again, you shouldn't give me 5 minutes, mate.
Okay, well, I will give you your surprise at the end, then you can give your final word. So we'll go that way with it. Yeah.
Yes. You know, like, we see all these idiots out there, like all these...
We have to be more specific
climate
because
hacks,
we've got some...
stop oil and everybody
yes,
else.
Yes,
wonder why, as soon as they get taken away, they're out again the next day. Well, I found out what it was. There was something in law called the consent defense.
Is this where they're using taxpayer money, more or less, to bail these people out and give them legal representation?
No, consent defense covered such things as we're doing it to save the world.
Oh, one of those. Okay.
Yes. So in the UK, that's in England and Wales at the moment, not Scotland, because, excuse me, Scots, I love Scotland, yeah, but your government is a bunch of hacks and they are really bad. And this hasn't been included there yet. But this consent defense, right, it's basically done on the cause of saving the planet, climate change. It used to be called an important defense. Well, not anymore. Well, not in England and Wales. Because a judge is led by the Baroness Sue Carr, Lady Chief Justice, has basically said climate activists can no longer can avoid prosecution for criminal damage and use this as an excuse.
Well, how convenient.
Well, so basically they're saying you can now be prosecuted. So, well, because for some reason, somewhere along the line, somebody, some lawyer, some judiciary came up with this consent law, mm-hmm. which allowed them to get away with everything, but they can't use it now. It cannot be
so
used.
So you mean there's the not going to be...
The effects of climate change would be inadmissible in future cases.
They're basing all of this on just mass hysteria anyway. So we've gone over the climate stuff time and again.
Yeah,
it's just, it's
yeah,
nonsense.
But the thing is, everything has to be sorted in the law courts, doesn't it? And it's only the judiciary that you have that can actually pull the stewards of the countries in line. Most of them are actually doing as they're told. Maybe these have been doing as they're told that they've got to pull it in now. And there's a reason that they're jumping all over these climate hacks or whatever. Maybe Stop Oil actually destroyed a bit of artwork belonging to one of these rich boys and they didn't like it.
You mean like the portrait of Lord Balfour that was at Trinity College?
Possibly. You mean the one they razed to pieces?
Yes, yeah, the one they sliced and diced. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I showed you the video of them in Scotland where they went to the bust of Queen Victoria and they spray painted.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
They They have no respect. The thing is, they got no respect for their own history of the world and the country and what people did to get them there. They wouldn't be alive. None of these idiots would be alive. They're supposed to be the champions of the people that came before them. They're supposed to be champion humanity and going forward, not disfiguring and everything else and saying, it's like you might as well go and piss on your parents' grave. It's very ugly. I mean, they just don't have any substance to them at all. They don't care. So what right do they have when they're telling everybody else that they have no rights? None of it's making sense, but we know why it's being done. Why the chaos has been created, but it's getting it out there to the people. Just, it's wrong. You've got to stop it. Japan brought a report out. I noticed the report. The problem with the world at the moment is we're not getting, it's like in the UK, there's nothing, even though we've got an inquiry going on, there's nothing coming through the media with a report. Our ONS is quiet and everything on.
Well, ONS, we talked about what the ONS did a couple of weeks ago. They changed their counting methods. So they're not counting. They're not even counting anymore.
Well, no, they're coming up with their own way of saying, well, it's even less now. People aren't suffering at all. Well, it's just loads of crap. The person that's in charge there now is just doing. But there was a preprint report that came out on the 15th of March, and it was actually published in the Thailand Medical News the following day. And basically, it was a paper that was titled Concerns Regarding Transfusion of Blood Products Derived from Genetic Vaccine Recipients and Proposals for Specific Measures, i.e. if you're vaccinated or you've had the COVID vaccine, this is a reason why you shouldn't be giving your blood and people shouldn't be taking it. So basically, the Thailand Medical News, 16th of March, 2024, you can go and look it up. You can have a good read of it. There's quite a lot there. But basically, it's calling for a suspension of the COVID vaccine program because they've looked into bloods and the reports from many countries that have already basically said that these vaccines, the use of genetic coding, the use of proteins, the delivery systems that are used, it's all got a negative effect. And the resulting damage and harm post-vaccine is, well, it's incalculable because it's still going on.
Yes.
But basically, they talk about the thrombosis, the cardiovascular damage, wide range of diseases this is just organs and everything. But the problem doesn't just stop there, they said, because basically we've got organ donors that are post-vaccinated. We have bone marrow donors post-vaccinated, and they're passing things on which are dangerous. Yeah.
We warned of this very early on.
Yeah, I know. So basically, they put 6 points together. I simply highlighted them and tried to reduce them down to simple measures. And I put down, so basically, obviously, the first one they put out there was the spike protein. Yes, people, you've heard spike protein. People can say yes, no, whatever. But it's found, it's toxic. It has effect on blood cells. They put down a word such as red platelet aggregates. Now, when it says aggregates, that means a build-up of solid products, yeah? Amyloid formation, we talked about that because we had all the funeral directors and the pathologists saying, what are these solid forms within the veins and the arteries and stuff like that? What's going on here? And it's an amyloid formation. This is what happens. Your red platelet aggregates, this is a build-up of solid stuff which does not dissolve readily, and it is causing a problem. Basically, it's toxic to humans. If you read this, they say it is basically toxic to humans, and obviously it goes across all barriers, because another thing they mention is obviously the LNP, lipo-nanoparticles, that's in there as well. Why should such a thing be there to deliver this toxic form across all barriers? Essentially, that has to be removed before any transfusion should be thought of or recommended. This blood needs to be cleaned out, and some of it is just about impossible. Your amyloid aggregates, which is just that build up and solidifying of the proteins and that, and they've got a thing called microthrombocyte, which is basically, it's due to these obstructions, adhesion of these platelets as they stick together. coagulation. It's just not good. And it's all to do with these proteins. Once created, it just doesn't break down. You've got also the individuals that are post-vaccinated. A lot of them can have immunodeficient problems. So these donors can have immunodeficiencies. So they can already have other pathogens within their system. And so you could have active viruses and pathogens within your system and you're going to be a donor. I mean, look up the word viremia, because basically that means uncontrolled viruses in the blood. Yeah, there is an actual word out there. And this goes into your immunodeficiency. The other thing is, like, you remember your lymphocytes and your B cells and stuff like that, which actually part of your immune system, that used to produce all these antibodies, which these pharmaceuticals used to say, yeah, there's loads of antibodies. Yeah, there bloody is loads of antibodies. These IgG4 antibodies. But there was too much of them and they were sending your body into overreaction.
Yep.
They were happy. They were broadcasting, yeah, there's antibodies. This is okay. No. You're killing people. This is self-harm. This is not good. So post-vaccine, people, if you think you're doing a good thing, giving your blood out there, get your blood tested. It needs cleaning.
Now, here's,
or not
here's,
using at all.
Here's the question. How do you get that? Is that one way to quote, detox from that, is to, like, get your blood cleaned out? I mean, is there any way to know whether that's going to be
effective? Exactly. You've got to look into this, because I'm waiting for a follow-up paper to see how to do it.
Yes.
I don't think it's an easy answer, other than saying the vaccinated has to have their blood tested to see if you've got any of these active proteins. And if you have, you're not allowed to give blood. Because remember, being in the Navy, if you'd been to certain parts of the world, because of their environment and stuff like that, you weren't allowed to give blood if you'd come back from certain places in the world.
That's true.
For a period of time. And this is, infinitely worse, yeah? I mean, because it's been put out everywhere, the line's got to be drawn to say, if you've been vaccinated, you've got to have a blood test to see what active products you've got within it. And the scary thing is, if you get told that all these things are active within your system, and if you find out you're immunodeficient as well, guess what? You're not going to be happy. But I would question it. I would ask my doctor and see if you don't get told, we can't do that. Funny enough, because I bet you get told, sorry, can't do that, because they don't want you to know.
Especially if there's not anything you can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Exactly.
What are you supposed to say? Do you have any more on that? Because I want to get to the post. Since you brought that up, I want to get into the post-vaccination reports out of Canada. This is not out of Canada. Excuse me. The people that put this together are from Canada. The group that put this together are from Canada. It's the Global Research Outfit is what they call themselves. They've picked 25 cases. This is post-vaccination. Okay. So these are people that have specifically all one thing in common from different parts of the world. That is, yep, vaccinated, and they all had heart attacks or medical incidents.
Some cardiovascular problem.
Yes,
or
while driving. Yes.
Yeah.
So just to go through some of these, I'll put this up here on screen so you can take a look. And it shows the people that have, you know, been, you know, get, you see her, you know, she's got her little vaccine card there. March 18th, 2021. So grateful for the science and the opportunity to get this vaccine. April 19th, 2021. It is so easy to get vaccinated in Hamilton County. My second dose took 10 minutes from start to finish. You never leave your car, and the process is so simple. Yeah. Well, she was driving and she had a seizure. She was later diagnosed with a brain tumor. That was in February of just this past year. So February 15th, 2024, Baltimore, Maryland, 38-year-old paramedic, which emergency workers were coerced into taking them, collapsed in her car and stopped breathing around 2:20 a.m. CPR was unsuccessful as a paramedic. She had to be COVID-19 vaccinated. Brandon MB, Canada, 46 years old police officer, which I believe they mandated the police do it, died suddenly on February 5th, 2024. He was driving his personal vehicle when he experienced a medical issue that led to this tragic event. Coventry, UK, 53-year-old Irene, fell unconscious while driving in Coventry and died suddenly. Three people died of silent heart attacks while driving in India, in Paradesh, India, in a single day, ages 41, 42, and 57. Queen Creek, Arizona, 36-year-old dental hygienist. The dentist office probably made her take it. Sarah Bacon died suddenly on January 18th, 2024. It is believed she suffered a heart attack while driving home from work. That actually happened to a personal friend of mine. 38 years old, took it because of his job, was driving home from work one morning because he was working nights, had a heart attack behind the wheel, drove off the road, hit a tree, and died. Two U.S. Army drill sergeants found dead in 8 days in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, 34-year-old and a 30-year-old, both found dead in their car on December 16th, 2023. Yeah, funny that, huh? They made the military take them. Yeah, they mandated that all the military take them. All DOD employees and contractors had to take them.
The thing is, what they found out, that if you're in intensively physically fit and stuff, that a lot of your cardiac problems can be highlighted very quickly.
Absolutely.
You're more susceptible to it.
Absolutely. Because you're more active.
It hits you harder.
Yeah. 44-year-old had a heart attack while driving on December 8th, 2023. Her car headed into oncoming traffic. Three nurses stepped in and saved her life. HBO TV producer Kevin Turin, age 45, died on November 12th, 2023. He was driving back from a tennis tournament with his 10-year-old son. Collapsed behind the wheel. The 10-year-old son navigated and stopped the car. Can you believe it? And this goes on and on and on. So I don't want to go down through the rest. Liverpool, UK, 37.
The thing is, that list will be endless. If you go into every country in the world, you will find this happening all over it. But it's not. These aren't being put through your media. And this is the problem.
No,
Why isn't it? There should be a running obituary of people that die now.
Not only that, shouldn't we be hearing some kind of a response from our insurance companies in some way? Don't you think?
Well, yeah. Actually, you know what it'll be, don't you?
Shouldn't you have to pay a higher premium?
Exactly.
For car insurance? I'm asking.
If you're post-vaccinated.
Yeah.
Can you imagine it? But why? Because if they do that, how many people within these insurance companies have been vaccinated?
Well, probably most of them, I would say.
Just about everybody in their call centers and everything.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. I think it's just, I have a dark sense of humor. But the thing is, this is crazy. This is really dark. And I am an ex-serviceman and I can compartmentalize. And I know where the enemy is. But we've got to get this information out there, whatever we do. The thing is, this isn't about conspiracy theories. This isn't about whatever. It's about just information. If you don't agree, you don't agree. If you agree, you agree. But look it up. Look it up. That's all we're here for. Just to trigger something in you. Just to get you going, you know? Before it's too late. So you have a slim chance, whether you're vaccinated or not, when you're still alive, it's just to give you hope and a slim chance of going forward for another year, 5, 10 or whatever, or actually knowing whether you're going to drop dead in 5 or 10 years, you know, because there are situations out there and there are medical problems that a lot of people are in, and this is going to be hitting them in 5 or 10 years. This isn't over. They're in for the long term and the count's going to go up. And if you think that's a conspiracy, well, let's just wait and see, shall we? Anyway.
Perhaps we should do what Jeremy Vine suggested and just grab control of Twitter and just shut it down like communist China.
Do you know something? That sorry bastard is still alive.
He's had a lot of vaccines, I think.
It makes me wonder. I must admit, he had something that he cried about on telly about when he was in pain.
Did, he did. He got vaccinated, then he was coughing and screaming.
He started to mince and moan and cry like a little baby, the spineless git.
Wondering why the government wasn't doing anything.
Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, you'd make a good dad, not. Or a good responsible person. Not, you're a good whiner. Yeah. Oh, and he stands on platforms and associates himself with other people that whine and tell the people what they should do.
Greta Thunberg.
You shouldn't tell the people what they should do. It's what you call advice. You should be out there gently saying something. Otherwise, you're a lying bitch. It's as simple as that. Because if you're forcibly doing it, that's a salesman's pitch, you know? Go back to your bed and have another fit, you little child. But yeah, I've got no time for him. But then outside of his show, he's probably a very lonely individual.
I think he is, yes. He spends his time, when he's not doing his show, doing GoPro videos of him cycling through London.
Really?
Yes.
This is me.
Yes, that's what he does. He'll occasionally pass the Amazon delivery driver and they'll just call him a, you know, see you on Tuesday kind of thing.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do indeed. Anyway, people seem to be enjoying writing things lately. There's a group of people. You just mentioned a group out from Canada, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's a group of people called collateralglobal.org, yeah? It's a British think tank which was set up to examine the pandemic policies, right? Now, they are self-funded or donations because they can't get the government funding because obviously they want to look into it truthfully. So the group they're made up of several people, including professors and academics from certain universities, York, Bristol, Exeter, even from the Imperial College London. So they obviously don't agree with that idiot that they've got there.
Don't agree with Mr. Ferguson, no.
And the King's College London as well. They range in all manner of subjects, because I thought I'd look into them. The global health policies, medicine, ethics, law, statistics. There's about 56 of these professors and academics, yeah, and from all walks of life. And they sent a letter to Heather Hallett, you know, the one that's in charge of our UK COVID inquiry.
Yes.
Well, basically, you can look at the letter. It is available. If you go and look at collateralglobal.org, if you put it in a nutshell, they basically put down it's not living up to its stated mission. There's a lack of neutrality, the impression of being fundamentally biased, which has led to predetermined convictions, such as a quote they put out from there, "We better lock down faster next time," that they said at the inquiry.
Yeah, they're giving it fast, you know,
what's
enough,
that
yeah.
about? Yeah. So, I mean, and they put in there basically, and the one truth they really did put in there that I had to say was they neglected to hear evidence from those who suffered the negative effects of pandemic policies, or scientists that disagree with the policies made by the government. There has been nobody in this inquiry of questioning anything that was being put forward, right? So, yes, it is biased. So, yeah, so that letter's been sent in. I'm waiting to see if they get a response. That was on the 12th of March. So it's recent. I don't expect them to get a letter straight away in return. But we'll wait and see what happens with that. If they ever get one back.
I seriously
get a reply.
I seriously got it.
So it's nice to see that all academia isn't following the line, if you know what I mean. Some people are actually putting things together and had enough. There was something really annoying that went on this month. Have you heard of the Aspen Ideas Climate Conference?
No, I've heard of the Aspen Institute, but not this.
Yeah, it's a climate conference.
Okay.
It was on from the 11th to the 13th of March.
So I'm assuming that they meet in Aspen, which is like going to, what's the vacation place that they went to with the G20, Cornwall. It's kind of like going there. Yeah, it's expensive there, isn't it?
Aspen.
Yeah.
Is Aspen?
Aspen's in Colorado.
Aspen, Colorado. This was held in Miami, Florida, this conference.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's just the name of the institute. It wasn't held in action.
Yeah, but Aspen, Aspen is Colorado, by the way. Yes, it is.
Yes, and it's very expensive there. That's like the high society.
It's very expensive. Yeah, yeah. That's the sort of
ski resort town.
Winter fun games. Yes.
Yes. Only the privileged, you know, get to go there kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, definitely. Well, talk about privilege and money. There was lots of talk about what was required to address the climate causes and stuff like that. And one of the quotes that you've got to love it. Yeah. Come on. And this is it, people. Right. Let me just mention something. Yeah. When we had that bank problem in 2008, 2010, it was known at the time that the trade of the world that actually goes round was about 30 trillion. That money circulated and there was hideous credit bubbles above that. Yeah. And these people, here's a quote, "A seismic shift in the financial strategies has to be from billions to trillions globally just for the climate idea.
I do believe that that is what both John Kerry and King Charles had to say, was
but trillions
require trillions, not billions.
Well, that's basically saying they're taking the money. You will not have money. This is all part of that social credit crap. Yeah, so it won't be there. So this is required.
I do have
climate crisis.
I do have the clip of Charlie really quickly from Glasgow. If you'd like for me to play it,
no,
where he said exactly that. No,
well, you can put him on just so the people can hear what an idiot he is.
For reference. Yeah, this is back when the conference was in Scotland,
of all places.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
You see, he hinted at some really nasty things there, like economic transition. That economic transition isn't going to be nice, people, what he referred to there. He mentioned climate as an excuse, but then he mentioned economic transition. You've got to listen to what they say, because they just give you headings. And if you follow those headings and look into what they intend to do with the social structure of people, it's not nice. It isn't nice at all. Charlie's in with the hacks. I have got no time for him. I'm sorry, but I mean, you nearly made me spit when I saw that Union Jack flag next to that UN.
I'm sorry.
That was just horrid. I mean, as it is, I'm going to have something to say about those UN bastards today.
Well, that's fine, because we've had plenty to say about them the last weeks.
No, a bit of history. Yeah, I will. I'm going to drag something out just so that people can hear. Right. So this meeting, they didn't only start talking about money, which, as you rightly put Charlie up there, but they referred to their methane satellite that went up this month.
Come again.
Yep. On the agenda also was methane leaks all over the world. Methane sat in orbit now, which went up on the 4th of March. It monitors approximately 50 major regions. Now, they mentioned 50 major regions. I've got to look into what 50 major regions these are. Because if it's a methane satellite, why isn't it monitoring everywhere?
I'm just curious. Instead of putting up stupidity in orbit like this, a methane satellite, whatever the hell this damn thing is, to monitor, what'd you say, 50? 50 regions?
It says 50 major regions.
50 major regions. Why are we not investing that money into a reconnaissance satellite to monitor, communist China? That'd be a good place to start.
Well, you know why? because it comes under the financing supported by the Environmental Defense Fund.
Environmental Defense Fund.
Yeah.
Where's our National Defense Fund? Where the hell is that? Those coffers have been drained.
So once these guys, so basically they've been patting themselves on the back about wanting trillions instead of billions, and we've put a satellite up there and whatever. And then they get down to one of their guests. Well, actually, I don't think he was there, but his vice chairman was, and it was the vice chairman of Bezos's Earth Fund. Yes. And you know what him and Gates are pushing at the moment, don't you?
Actually, yes. Did you hear about their deal with Greenland? Do you remember that Trump wanted to buy Greenland? He wanted to purchase it, just kind of like what he did with Alaska. Do you remember that?
What, from Denmark?
Yes. We were in talks to actually purchase it. And that deal fell through, and everything just they turned it into a media circus.
It's a massive landmass. Denmark has got a small landmass.
I understand.
They'll be quite happy to have that.
I understand. But anyway, it didn't matter, because it just turned into a media circus, and then it went away. Next thing you know, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates are in there claiming the mining rights for themselves.
What?
Yeah.
That's not theirs.
Well, apparently now it is.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to dig up the articles, but we did talk about it. We did talk about it at the time. I'll have to go back and
Right. Oh, you'll have to.
Yeah.
Because his vice chairman, Lauren Sanchez, announced initially a $60 million fund for sustainable protein. Oh, God. As part of a $1 billion commitment of food transformation. This is basically your plant-based lab-grown meats. Why are they calling it meat?
Well, you won't eat it any other way. So
it's going to have to call it meat. It shouldn't be called meat.
Well, they actually ran into some problems with that with some of these products here. They ended up having to change them. So it's not chicken. It's like chicken or like pork. That's what they're putting on the things.
Okay. Let's go back to something like World War II. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I know this for a fact because my father was in World War II. He went in at 18, yes, and he would not eat rabbit. And I went, why don't you want rabbit, Dad? And Mum used to sort of giggle in my ear and say, well, yeah, I do cook rabbit every now and then, but he don't need to know that. But because I used to say, it's lovely. And he used to say, you know why, son? Well, chickens. You used to have chickens and rabbit at the butchers. When the chickens ran out, people hunted down the rabbits. When the rabbits ran out, the cats were hanging up there, skinned. Yeah? Cats taste like chicken. So, like chicken, guys. Yeah. So, it's a joke. But this is what they went through. This is what they went through because you were isolated, away from the world, whatever. You didn't have a big country like the United States. You didn't have a great mainland or whatever. You're on an island. And, yeah, people went through that. And the honesty of it was, and that is why he said, don't want rabbit pie, you know, it just makes me twitch. That was his honesty. But those things happened, but at least they're not doing the Haitian food plan. That's something, which is, you know, was it Jimmy Barbecue, whatever?
Jimmy Barbecue? Are you talking Haitian, about the guy from Haiti? Yeah. Mr. Barbecue, yeah.
The Haitian cannibal menu or whatever
it's
called.
Yes.
But yeah, so they're putting this part of... But what he says and what they put forward, people, as much as I put things forward like this, research things like, you know, world trade and what it has to do with that. Who funds the basically Earth Defense Fund? Look into it. You might find it interesting. You know, monitor it. With Bezos and this, look into something called the Good Food Institute, because Bezos is in partnership with these people. So basically, you've got something called the Good Food Institute. What else are they kicking out? Look into it. I'll give you pointers now, because the thing is, there's so much going on. I will just mention some headings. You can find your own connections if you're willing to look. I mean, when they spout things like part of how to feed 10 billion people with healthy, sustainable protein through the next century, you cannot just eat protein. You just cannot eat protein because they'll just be throwing other additives at you and God knows what else, and your diet will be incredibly bad. You need proper sustenance in this. And meats actually bring a lot more than protein into your system. What else does he shout? He shouts the usual stuff like at this climate show, reduction of methane from livestock.
Yes, of course, the cow and sheep burps. Yeah, we remember that at Ardern was doing in New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah, but hang on. These westernized idiots are penalizing our own farmers and everything. And yet, what did I mention the other day? There's 343 million pigs in Canada.
Is it Canada or China?
Oh, I mean China, sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
It is China these days, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I mentioned Canada, but yeah, maybe
there. Well, Trudeau is behaving just the same,
I think. Mirror. It is, no, but China has at least 50% of the pig stock for the world.
Yes, that's true.
And, I mean, China's quite happy doing what it wants in a vast scale while we penalize ourselves. We will destroy our own industries and they'll be happy about it. And that's the problem you're falling into. And it's ridiculous. And people like Bezos, pasture management, what does that mean? That means he wants to take over the farmlands and manage the pastures. And you got to look at these headings. These rich people want to put the farmers out of it and own it. This is a total control image that they're pushing, and it's bloody dangerous. We will have that two-tier structure, and it'll be scary, because that's what they have in places like China. And the tier of control is very small, and everybody else just has to do what they're told. And if you want to live that life, well, I don't know. So, I mean, they're going to be doing buyouts. And if you're talking about Greenland, I mean, that's interesting to see how they managed to get their feet in there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and dig that up. We did talk about it at the time. It's been a couple of years now, but I have to go back and get it.
I mean, you've got to understand it, people, right? They want to do carbon trade, water trade, you know, all these things, yeah? Under the one line, if you have money, you can offset doing anything. That's the Gates, that's the Bezos. If they were honest people, they wouldn't be flying around in these jets, and they wouldn't have all these jets and all these big boats and everything else, because Bezos lives very comfortably with a lot of money, and he's chugging everything out there, and he's telling people in the world that they've got to eat what he's not willing to, but he doesn't have to because he has the money, and he can do what he wants because his money can offset the great big carbon footprint that they're enforcing on everybody else, because he thinks money can do that. So who's going to be the cause of destruction of the world and everything? The people that give it, well, I can do anything because money allows me to. Oh dear, I destroyed that area. Actually, yeah, I'll create a foundation and throw some money at it, whatever. That is really bad. You cannot trust these people. They don't care for the people. They don't care for the world, because they believe they can do anything. And they're telling you, you can't. Choice is everything. And when they spout something, where the equality of choice, you have to have some level of equality. They spout equality. They spout equity, the same outcome for everybody, but the same outcome for everybody that is not of their tier structure. This is where they want to create the zero asset culture. So then if that gets totally created, we've got a serious, serious problem.
With the digital infrastructure overlay that you've talked about many times, and Bruce and I've been talking about here for years, with that laid over top of it, and you're going to be living in a coffin apartment or flat.
Yeah, 200 square feet of nothing.
That is if you're a well-to-do family of four, according to the United Nations.
Well-to-do family of four.
Yes, but they don't tell you what that is.
God. Yeah. I mean, if you think about the stupidity of it all, yeah, you've got them shouting EVs, and they know the EV is a nightmare thing because you need to have fossil fuel driven vehicles to mine the stuff and everything else, and the young people and that actually mine and dig half this stuff out of the ground for the batteries and everything. It's a horrendous line. The history of everything that goes up to make an EV is disgusting. The carbon footprint that it can never recover because it just spouts nothing out its back end. And then when it comes to the end of its life, it's not recyclable. It's just a waste of space.
And there's no secondhand market.
Yeah, there is no secondhand market. No. So what are they doing at the moment? They're going to be spouting EVs. You can wait for this in London with what Sadiq Khan is doing, this 20-mile-an-hour thing. Now, people, you're in London. A normal vehicle, a normal fossil fuel vehicle, the optimum speed, they're designed to travel. The optimum speed for fuel is somewhere between 55 and 65 mile an hour, where the consumption of it is just right. It's not too slow. It's not too fast. You want the acceleration, whatever. You're going to burn stuff. You actually have 30 mile an hour limits for safety within urban areas. If he's reducing it to 20 mile an hour, guess what you're doing? You're causing more pollution, because you will actually burn more fuel going slower. Okay? They're not designed that way. Sadiq Khan is a filthy, dirty, harm-making git. He's polluting the upper areas. Remember, he said, yeah, you can go down the undergrounds. I mean, look at them.
Yeah, the pollution.
Yeah, so basically it needs cleaning up, and you want to start with him. You want to get him out, because he is just a very painful individual. He's not a good representative of the people of London. He's just enforcing one problem after another. And if you think about the structure of society and what you could do with it, yeah, it's here, there, and everywhere. But yes, the idea of having these big lorries, they should go to the outskirts. They shouldn't come into the areas. But there's nothing wrong with creating public transports. I mean, in this country, we had a better train network. We've actually still got trams in areas, yeah? So if you've got a proper electrical supply, you could have these things going through your towns. But it's public transport. He should be using the money to create a better system for people. And that means you can still travel in your vehicle because you will only use your vehicle to travel distances. And that's when they work best. So if you've got a good public transport system, why should you have to pay for your public transport? Why don't they just apply our network, which just keeps going around? People would use it. They didn't have to pay for it, would they not? But then they would still be paying for it because it'd come out of their taxpayers' money.
That is true, yeah.
But you would have a network which worked correctly, you know? All you got to do is supply the energy and supply the network, and people would use it. And you'd have the luxury of, if you wanted to go from city to city or travel out and just go, I'm just going to go out with a family for a day. Go to places in the country where you're not going to have a rail network or a public network, and you should be allowed to do this. This is your country. Yeah. And it enables you to just to get rid of the stress and everything. He's just piling stress upon stress upon stress and creating stupid ideas upon stupid ideas. He was brought into existence by, I don't know, maybe there was this dung beetle that started somewhere in the world and just eventually made it into some form and just left it in London, and it metamorphosed into that idiot.
It could have, yeah.
Because he has got, he's just full of it.
He is. All right. Last 10 minutes. I still have your surprise to get to, and you've got final thoughts that you've penned in the five minutes that I gave.
I want to have a bitch about the UN.
All right. Go have your bitch. We'll always make time for that. So go ahead.
Right. Hang on. Where did I put it's a paper? Right. What I want to talk about, people, is the UN, the WHO, this, you know, you're going to hear about it's the three-headed Hydra, yeah? Let's have a look. Oh, I wanted to talk about that hate crime bill out of Scotland as well. I'll save that for you.
Yeah, save that one, because we're going to be talking about that, and there's going to be more countries that are going to do that. So I actually had the clip from, you were talking about Telegram last week. I found the clip of Starmer. Do you want me to play that really quickly from last year for reference? Because I had mentioned it to you about how he said that we need to go after Telegram. He was saying this during COVID. It's only 40 seconds. Yeah, I know. It's only 40 seconds. But I can run this through just for reference, because you brought it up last week.
Telegram has been described as the app of choice for extremists. Mr. Speaker, if you can believe it, if the House can believe it, as we were paying tribute to Sir David on Monday, Telegram users could access videos of murders and violent threats against politicians, the LGBT community, women and Jews, as we were paying our respects. Some of these posts are illegal. All of them are harmful. And Hope Not Hate and the Board of Deputies have said that Telegram has, in their words, facilitated and nurtured a subculture that cheerleads for terrorists. Tough sanctions are clearly needed.
No, on you. What's he come out with? The usual line, women, children, Jews, this, that,
it's
whatever.
It's always the same, yeah.
You know, it's always the same crap, you political moron. It's just, though, basically, while this, murders and this like that, how dare he? He's in the group of the buddies of murdering bastards, isn't he?
I believe
they're
so,
they're all
yeah.
sitting in there still with their emergency umbrella up. Why? Because they needed to sustain their eligibility to be in government still. Because if that comes down, you fraudulent git, you should pay the price if you've agreed to anything. And I'll tell you what, the first thing people want to see is, you know, like this blood transfusion. Yeah, let's get a list of how many people in government have got clean blood. It'll be interesting, won't it?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, it should be mandatory now. The horrible git. Anyway. The three-headed Hydra. You upset me by putting that art.
I'm sorry. I had to play it because of last week.
Yeah, it's all right. That's all right, mate. Don't worry. WF. Who are they? People who want to control the global social structure. Nothing more than that. Okay. Create an unequal world. That is all they're about. It's a big boys, big money. You're only allowed in our club if you have lots of it. Yeah. And they are basically They're just greedy postulating sores on humanity. Let's call them that then, yeah? Who created the WHO?
United Nations.
And just about who got all the jobs in the WHO? It was the defunct League of Nations Health Organization, wasn't it?
It was.
So those horrible people got a freebie job. Yeah,
they got a free pass, yeah.
Who's in charge of them?
Who's in charge of the WHO?
Well, who's the representative at the top that
well,
keeps
right
spouting
now,
stuff?
Right now, that's going to be Mr. What's his name? Tedros. Yes.
Tedros Ghebreyesus. Yes.
Yes. Mr. Yes, Ethiopian genocidal yes. maniac. Yes, that's the one.
Oh, hang on. He was the head of a terrorist organization called the Tigray People Liberation Front.
Yes, that was a communist-funded liberation front.
Basically, there was a lot of international funds going into that, and he used that. All those medical funds and stuff, he denied, over several years in Ethiopia, and he used them to gain an upper hand and get to his enemies, I suppose, whoever he saw as his enemies. But what did that create? Hang on. There were three cholera epidemics in there, weren't there? Over 2006, 2009 and 2011. Yeah, I think, in Ethiopia, regions of Ethiopia. And let's get to the WHO and a bit of history. We used to have human rights people out there that used to go around the world and report to newspapers when things were going bad. Yeah? Now, the WHO, remember, you obviously want to put in people's minds when that Ebola outbreak was. Do you remember that?
Yes, 2010, 2011, I think, along there.
Yeah. Congo, outbreak in Congo.
Yeah.
Now, the human rights people and the papers were saying, there's sex exploitation of girls and women by WHO personnel, and this went into rape, abuse, forced abortions. And the ages varied from 13 upwards. There were 83 cases reported and investigated, right? But here's a statement from the WHO. They refused to fire the perpetrators from the WHO. So those people who were accused of doing this and done it still had jobs in the WHO. The argument was their actions didn't violate the WHO's sexual exploitation practice policies because the victims weren't receiving WHO aid. So if you don't get WHO aid, you're allowed to rape and abuse people in the world? Well, that's by their standards.
Kind of seems that way, doesn't it?
That was published in a paper, in a newspaper. And that is disgusting. And we want those people being in charge of our health. And you think they're nice people? He ain't. And he's at the top of it. Now, that is obviously. And then you get. So I thought, okay, let's go down to United Nations, because everybody's talking about Haiti at the moment, aren't they?
And yes.
There's a UN peacekeeping force being put together.
Yes. Kind of convenient
now,
for that, isn't it?
Now, funny enough, the UN peacekeepers have already been at Haiti and caused a nasty thing there previously. So they're going back for the second term, are they?
I'm curious.
Do it all again.
Yeah, I'm curious about one thing. Do we have Chinese troops that are mixed in with the UN quote peacekeeping forces?
Not that I know of. They've been around to Nigeria and Africa. It's wherever the
wherever their interests are.
President or the prime minister in existence of Haiti has been going around recently. They've been trying to put them together.
I see.
Now, in 2010, it's a wonderful year for the WHO doing those nasty things. It was a wonderful year for the UN peacekeepers. Yeah. This is United Nations peacekeepers. Remember Somalia and Mogadishu? They were shelling over 3 months civilians, 400 injured, 160 dead, UN peacekeepers. Lovely. And then at that time, you also had the UN-supported troops and peacekeepers again in the Congo, right? Now, there were reports of killing, raping, displacing civilians, right? Now, this was classified as a push to disarm the rebels. Now, the rebels were the democratic forces for the liberation of Rwanda, which anybody looks at the Democratic Republic of Congo, you've got sort of Congo, the Republic, and then you've got Rwanda just on the right-hand side of it as sort of part of it. Now, this is also reported in papers, the numbers and everything. For every rebel disarmed that because they were out there to disarm. At least one civilian died. Seven girls and women raped. 900 people were sort of displaced and forced to flee their homes. But the numbers might be wrong, because what they found was the majority of victims found were tied up together and their throats slit, so they couldn't say anything. But these groups of civilians that were tied up together mainly consisted of women, children, and the elderly. And there were reports of torture, extortion. There was an endless amount of charges thrown into these that everybody was reporting on these UN peacekeepers that were associated with this Congo force. And despite all these reports, the UN mission in Congo expressed support for the Congolese armed forces and dismissed it all. No one was held accountable. Just like the WHO, they still have those people that committed all the crimes, whatever. But it's just not there. I mean, those people who can remember like me, remember the peacekeepers we had in Bosnia, remember the peacekeepers we had in Kosovo, and obviously Haiti beforehand, and now they're going back there again.
It sounds that way, doesn't it?
I mean, most recently, UN personnel, yeah, have been involved in another problem, isn't it? What's up at the moment? It's the Israeli Hamas thing. And the UN people have been found to be associated with Hamas and what went on there as well. So, come on. They're on the wrong side of the fence. These people are bad. The UN reply to such things as this has always been, oh, there's a few bad apples. Okay, but if you've got a basket of bad apples, you remove them. You leave those rotting bad apples in that basket, it all starts to rot. And these have been rotting for decades. The WHO is rotten. The UN was rotten before it. And the WF are treating the world like a golf club with the boys that are allowed to be in the club and everybody else is, well, probably not even a caddy. But that three-headed hydra has a history of nothing but harm, sadness, and whatever, and they're pushing everything. The UN has got its paws into just about every bureaucratic thing, and we need to get our governments disconnected from them. And it's the only way we can survive. Our governments have got to disconnect from the WHO, the UN, the WF has to be pushed aside. And not until then will we be making our own policies again for our own countries. Don't you agree?
I do agree, yes. I also agree that we need to have some kind of a forum for people to be able to get together and talk. However, here's my other side to that. They don't need to have, nor have they ever needed to have, any kind of legislative authority. I don't know when this bullshit started, but that's got to stop.
For advice only.
Yes, whenever these people started to legislate, that has to stop. That should not be allowed.
They're external to your country.
Yes.
And they should remain external. Yes.
And they always hide behind the fact that they say, okay, well, we can pass this at the UN, you know, a UN treaty or whatever. And then they say, oh, well, it has to be ratified by the Senate. That's only half of our legislative body. We shouldn't even be doing business with people like that. Not at all.
No, I agree. Totally. They've got their paws into every country and they need to be expelled. We need to get that rot out.
Yeah.
We need to remove it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right. On to your surprise. Are you all set? How you feeling?
Yeah. Hey, I'm ready for it, man. I've got lots more to say, but it can wait.
All right, here we go. Museum in the UK claims that dinosaurs have an LGBTQ history and birds are queer.
Okay.
Museum in Britain has claimed that some birds are queer and that the history of animal queerness has been hidden from the public. The Hastings Museum and Art Gallery is running an LGBTQ history exhibition funded by the Arts Council of England, which claims that some birds are queer because they change their sex from female to male. Story out of the Telegraph says that. Yeah, I know. I thought you'd have something to say about that.
So, what is the word for something that changes its sex so it can self-produce?
Uh huh.
What's the word for it?
Well, it can procreate.
Nature has so many ways to do this, right? If it doesn't make them queer, why'd you have to put a name on them queer? I think we are now living in a world where, they want to be called what they want to be called, but now they're calling something that's dead and gone by a name. So
no,
aren't they being hypocritically slanderous?
Well, no, they're specifically saying that pheasants are of that type now. So they say pheasants.
Well, I'd say pheasants are just daft. They ain't got a bloody clue.
Well, this is why we have pheasant hunting syndicates, don't we? Actually, I think Marty was even part of one. Pheasants featured in some of the earliest European studies of queer behavior in animals. They go on to say that with queerness visible in the natural world, the argument is that somehow unnatural begins to unravel.
So hang on. They got to be careful because they've just said unnatural, queer is unnatural in an indirect way.
That is unnatural. One way to interpret it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So are they saying it's not natural to be queer? It's always been natural to be different or whatever. Animals, no matter what level of life, will bugger something or whatever, or they will have some different types of sexual orientation depending on availability of partners or not. It's a button driven by nature and depending on the way you think and depending on whether you... I mean, humanity, see, what we abuse is we have choice. We can actually weigh things up of what we will do or not. That's why we hold each other accountable for what we do. When you get into levels of animalistic and nature, most of it is just driven by a button, nature's button. So don't label them. If they've done one thing or another, they've done it. You're trying to label them with what you're describing part of the humanity. So don't be a peasant. Be a pheasant.
Or you could be a Trannysaurus Rex now, can't you, I think?
Oh, come on. I mean, that is being allowed to put that rubbish out there is just, well, it's
ridiculous.
It's a replacement of a comedy act.
It's a replacement of our history is what it is.
If the animals did whatever to each other, they did. But no matter what happens, somewhere along the line in their binary coding or whatever, they had to do it. So many of them had to do it properly. Otherwise, they would have died out. Yeah, so whatever species got here today, including humanity, so many of them had to do it in a binary way just so that they could have offspring. Yeah, that's fundamental. Simple as that.
If you
want to take yourself out of the Darwinian strain and not procreate, that is your choice. But don't just throw names around at everybody. Or you want to call yourself something because you choose not to, and you want to create your own little club of transgender idealism or whatever and enforce it on others, you're boring. If you want to be in your own little clubs, be in your own little clubs. Don't push it on others because everybody's entitled to their own little club. Piss off with yours if you don't want to include others. If you want to talk, if you want to listen to other people and be inclusive, fine. Otherwise, not interested. You're very juvenile. Bugger off.
And on to your final thought.
Well, you gave me 5 minutes. What did I write in those 5 minutes?
It looks like you wrote 15 minutes worth of content.
No, I actually just put a heading down and put a world of hypocrisy. Basically, what triggered it was the paper was there and one of the headings was election year. And it was the West is criticizing Russia, Putin landslide victory, right? And no, I'm not a sympathizer of Putin or whatever, but hang on. Yes, it might have been rigged or whatever, but look at the West and how many governments have rigged whatever in the last few years.
Oh, yes. The U.S. was the most honest election we've ever had this past year. Time around. Yeah.
Elections have been so honest, and let's see what comes out of the honest elections in this following year.
To be fair on that point, I would just like to point out, I actually appreciate your guys' system. I do. I think it's one of the more fair systems. If it's allowed to work, yes. I do like the way you guys do it. I really do. The paper ballots and counted out there in view of the public and the first past the post thing, I appreciate all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The way you guys do it. The chain of custody gets broken.
The thing is, the only way to avoid that is stop the people voting.
Yes, there is that.
So people, you have to vote. No matter how you feel about something, make a decision and vote. We must continue to vote. I mean, funny enough, I put that down there. Here, we have an opinion. Get vocal. We have to represent ourselves, our families, our friends. So, yeah, let's talk about this. Let's get somewhere. I mean, it's not a matter of, oh, anyway, they'll do what they want. Get out there have your say. Remember that even if you disagree with something to begin with, when someone expresses an idea, just look it up, research it, get off your lazy butts and actually find a reason. Because whatever you decide, if there's enough of us and we vote, maybe we will be able to change things. But if we don't try, what right have we got to have about bitching in the future? You've got to keep pushing no matter what. Even if it just gives us a bit of, I mean, the amount of people that aren't talking, that aren't listening to each other, aren't conversing, that the knowledge isn't being spread around. Yeah, like I always say, if you don't converse, how will you ever find out you're wrong? It's nice to find out, speak to somebody and find out what their idea is. Me and Martin have bitch sessions loads of times. But the point is, out of it, both of us will find something in what the other person has said, which is good. And the thing is, the world is so out of balance at the moment, and we have to find balance. And you will never find balance if you're silenced. Do not be silenced. Don't ever be silenced. That is my end word. There you go. 5 minutes you gave me.
5 minutes, yeah. And that was really, it was 5 minutes. All right. We'll see you next week. Actually, next week will be a full roundtable. It will be your, you know, what you requested. And I do have some bad news. That's probably going to be one of Bruce's last podcasts.
Why?
Well, I'll let him explain it when he's there. So he will come back from time to time. But it, as far as he's going to be a busy man. Well, you got Bidenomics taking hold in the United States, so other things are going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The guy's got to find a way to survive.
Yeah.
Well, even if he just comes on after the show so we can talk about Star Wars and stuff like that and stuff that he likes to talk about, because some of this just must be very tedious for him because there's a lot of shit going on over there.
Yeah, sure. Well, everybody will have the chance to speak with him and converse with him when he comes in next week. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Marty will be there next week. That will be, I think, one of his last.
There's a downside to everything, isn't there?
There is, yeah. He's there to give his considered and informed opinion. He will be there. That's going to be one of his last before he jets off to the land down under. And he and I are working on a system right now to be able to get him on via phone for some reports from down there while he's there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what feedback he comes from. Maybe he'll be in one of those huts segregated from the rest of the population.
Could possibly be, yeah. Maybe he could get a couple of passerbys if he's actually laying on a beach down there, you know.
Yeah, bless him. Oh, I look forward to it. It'll be excellent.
All right, we will see you next week, my friend. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone. Have a great evening.
Good night, all.